Summer's here. The days are long, the weather's perfect, and your time should be filled with fun, not vehicle maintenance. Thankfully, with complimentary Ford Mobile service, you don't have to take time out of your day to take care of your vehicle. That's right, from oil changes with the works package to brakes, batteries, tire rotations, and more. Ford technicians can come perform expert service right in your driveway. So go ahead and stay poolside and let Ford Mobile service come to you. That's ownership built around you. Contact your participating dealer or visit fordservice.com for important details and limitations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. PNC's apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So I'll let Logan start today since he's our guest. Hey,
so
Logan,
what's your number five?
All right, my number five leftover, I just went with generic pizza.
Okay.
It would be higher on my list, except I am one of those rare humans that doesn't like cold pizza.
Okay.
I want it to reheat it again. I want it to be warm when I eat it the second time, but it's still really, really good the second time around.
Here's a critical question. How do you reheat your pizza?
Yeah, it is a good question.
I mean, in the past, it was always the microwave for me, but probably in the last 6 months, since my wife and I bought our first home and we have enough counter space to have the air fryer out and available at all times,
yeah,
I'll throw a leftover pizza in the air fryer, and it's phenomenal.
I feel like there are two acceptable answers to that question. One is the air fryer. The other is a cast iron pan.
I have done that before, too.
That's
but
really good.
Microwave is not good.
An oven, maybe, if you have the time.
Yes.
But then you might as well just get another pizza.
Right.
It is funny. I think the microwave is something that I've just gone away from as I've matured.
I reheat coffee in it. It's good for that. I don't use it much anymore either.
Henry, my 16-year-old, cooks everything in the microwave. Everything. And I honestly think he's doing it just to piss me off.
Uh-huh.
Because
that sounds about right.
Yeah. Well, he'll like get up and like put chicken nuggets in there, like frozen chicken nuggets in the microwave, and then sit down and eat them. And I'll be like, that's disgusting. We'll be like, it tastes fine to me. Like that soggy slop that you're basically spooning out of a bowl tastes good to you. Okay.
Especially straight from frozen.
Oh, it's so bad.
That's bad.
So bad. There's something wrong with him.
Yeah.
All right. I'll go with mine for my first pick. And it is also pizza, but I'm not going to be generic like our friend Logan and just say any pizza. I'm going to specifically say pepperoni
and
pizza.
He likes pepperoni pizza, yeah.
Because if it has, I've noticed this, if it has any kind of vegetable on it, it does not taste as good reheated.
Even in the air fryer?
I've not tried it in the air fryer.
Okay.
But let's see. I accidentally ordered pizza 2 weeks ago, and instead of pepperoni, I accidentally hit peppercinis.
Oh, that's different.
And it wasn't that bad. It was actually good, but when I reheated it later, those peppercinis tasted terrible.
Yeah,
and I did use the air fryer for that. So yeah, no,
I get it. Too much water in it.
It just it loses it. They lose their snap and their consistency. It just doesn't taste as good.
Yeah, my number five is something that my mom made all the time as a kid. Chicken and noodles, like with the thick egg noodles, they're really thick, and she would do it from scratch. Some people did chicken and dumplings. I don't
like. My mom makes chicken dumplings.
So yeah, I don't like dumpling. Too thick, too doughy. I like the chicken and noodles. And it's to this day is still like my favorite thing that she makes.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That is some
reheated.
My grandma, my dad's mom actually showed my mom how to make chicken dumplings. And it very much was like comfort food.
Yeah.
Like if you were sick or something like that. So good.
Yes.
All right. So Logan, what is number four on your list?
Number four is one that I mentioned yesterday. Pulled chicken / pulled pork. And I put it on my list just because there's a lot of different things that you can do with it. You can mm-hmm. reheat it and put some barbecue sauce and eat it like a sandwich, like you had the previous go around. Mm-hmm. But what I like to do is I like to leave it cold and put it on a salad, you know, with some Italian or ranch dressing, croutons and tortilla strips and things like that. I just like kind of the creativity that you can use for a pulled chicken or a pulled pork. And it tastes really, really good, whether it's cold or whether it's reheated.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, meat, that's good.
Yeah. I get rotisserie chicken. I think my instinct is to always reheat it before I eat it again. But I think I'm just like paranoid. I don't think it has anything to do with even taste. I think I'm just paranoid. Like there's something that seems off.
Well, as Americans, we have this thing about making sure chicken is cooked all the way through.
Right.
Which means that's
an American thing.
I feel like we have a weird, we think the only way to make sure chicken is cooked all the way through, even the first time, is to way overcook it and get it as dry as possible because we're afraid of undercooking
justifiably,
it.
Justifiably, I mean.
But other countries seem to salmonella. Know. Like there's a point at which it's cooked without making a hockey puck out of it.
What would be like the worst food to eat raw would be chicken.
I mean, chicken is pretty bad.
It would be chicken. I mean, even just from a sickness angle, but I'm saying like if you... just how bad it would taste. I think chicken. It's just like gelatinous. It doesn't even look real. My number four on this is crab rangoon.
Okay.
I actually don't even reheat it. Cold crab rangoon, especially from like a good Chinese restaurant, not necessary, but even Panda Express. Mm-hmm. It's still good. It's
doesn't
almost
lose
like
its crispiness.
It maintains it. Mostly.
Okay.
But the important thing is it kind of goes from an appetizer to a dessert.
Okay. I get that.
In the process, because it's almost like a cheesecake because it's cream cheese in there and the fried filling. It's good.
Okay. My number four is, and this would be on no one's list and it wasn't anywhere online, but it is mine, is risotto rice. Risotto is one of my favorite things to make. It's a pain in the neck. It takes forever. And so when I make it, I make a lot of it. And there's always some leftover. And when you have leftover risotto rice, you make arancini out of it. And so you take the risotto rice and you make it into a ball and you shove a piece of mozzarella in it and you bread it and you fry it. Well, I toss mine in oil on a pan and then you dip it in marinara. But you have to have the risotto rice first and it has to be cooked.
I don't think I've ever had this.
Oh, I need to make this for you sometime. Sometime I will have Brady over and I will make it.
That would be great.
Because it's a pain in the neck to make, but if you're going to make it for two people, you may as well make it for 15.
All right, Logan. Yeah, I would have. Or you can just eat it. That's all you're going to eat for a week.
Yeah.
Logan, what's number three?
All right, number three, we'll get more generic. I put chili.
Okay.
It's really good the first time around and it seemingly gets better every single day after you cook it up until about day four, then you should avoid eating it at any and all costs for your own health and safety. But chili is always a good one. That's an easily reheatable leftover meal, always.
Okay. What is chili?
Chili is whatever you decide it is.
Right.
I mean, you know, I'm one of those people that I prefer to have beans and ground beef. And if you don't, in my opinion, if you don't put ground beef inside your chili, it's not chili. I will argue that till the end of time.
Texas chili has no beans, right?
Right. I was going to say, isn't it Texas chili has no beans? Right. So,
yes. But yeah. I've had people make chili and they didn't have any ground beef in it at all. They put, you know, the beans and the peppers and all the spices and things in it, but there was no ground beef.
That's
and I'm like, interesting. So I'm just eating, you know,
soup.
Exotic baked beans at this point. What am I doing
that's
here?
Not chili anymore.
No, it was disgusting.
I honestly think if it doesn't have any meat in it, it's not chili. Like, at least put some tofu or something in there.
I completely agree. I put some hot sauce in there. I cut up jalapenos and put them in there. Sometimes I'll put like red or green peppers in it. Also, onions, I think, are always good. Red onions, specifically inside of a chili, is really, really good.
Okay.
I think it's a solid option always.
I respect that.
All right, my number three is, I'm maybe going to get struck down for this, but it's not number one. Number three is just a Thanksgiving combo plate. And by that I mean, because it has to be, or a Thanksgiving sandwich, and that would be turkey, stuffing, and maybe like some mashed potatoes between two pieces of bread. That's damn good eating.
Cranberry sauce going on that too?
No, I don't like cranberry sauce. Maybe green beans.
Cornbread? What else are we throwing on this thing?
Oh, now here. Yes, just... cornbread. So, yeah, I know it's okay. A lot, but it's specific to Thanksgiving. It's not like I don't honestly think I would pick any of these individually is my point.
Mm-hmm.
But when together. It's Thanksgiving, having them all together, that works. What's your number four there, Jamie?
Number three, shepherd's pie. I still can't remember if it's the, I think it's the meat combination that goes on the bottom. And then, so it's lamb, ground lamb and carrots and peas and whatever else you put in there. And then you put a layer of mashed potatoes on top and then you brown, like you take a torch and brown mm-hmm. the top. And that's really good on day one. But on day two, when it's not as soupy and it all comes together, it's one of my favorite things to make that I don't make very often, but that's awesome. Leftover.
Yet another thing I've never eaten.
No, never had it.
Really?
Never had it. Yeah.
Go to an Irish restaurant sometime. Here, we're going to call it cottage pie because we don't use lamb. If it's hamburger, we call it cottage pie. Same idea.
Man, that's why I've avoided. I think my mom had a thing against lamb growing up. All right. What is number two for you, Logan?
Number two for me is gumbo.
Yeah.
I love it the first time around. That's it's more good. Of a soupy texture. But mm-hmm. then in the days that follow after you initially make the gumbo, it starts to sort of coagulate a little bit more, I would say. And the flavor stays really consistent, but it feels like you're eating kind of a brand new meal. And gumbo is personally, for me, my favorite food on planet Earth.
Okay.
And I will eat it every meal for a week straight if I have to. It's number two on leftovers for me.
I like that. That's a good one.
Number two for me is spaghetti.
Mm-hmm.
Because just basic. Mm-hmm. I don't. It could have meatballs, not have meatballs. I don't care. We've talked about it. Mm-hmm. The sauce gets to soak in a little bit more overnight while it's been sitting there. It's one of the few things I'll microwave, and it tastes mm-hmm. just as good mm-hmm. or even better sometimes than it tasted originally. I also don't. I've always just never been a fan of too much wetness in spaghetti. Like I don't want it like bone dry, but I don't like it if you get some spaghetti
saucy?
and there's water like coming out from it.
Oh, well, that means you didn't drain it well enough.
I would never do that. No,
yeah.
I drain it. I drain spaghetti in the colander and then I leave the colander sitting out for like 10 minutes.
Shake it a little bit.
Shake it to make sure I'm not getting any of that soppiness.
Yeah.
So spaghetti's number two for me. You, Jamie?
My number two is French toast. And I just learned this in the last couple of days. I had family staying with me and they have a 3-year-old and we went out to breakfast a couple of days ago and she got French toast and we brought it home. And then I found it in my fridge. I'm like, what can I do with this? And so I cut it in half and like I put like syrup over the top and then I air fried it. That's a new thing for me. That's incredible. Mm-hmm. French toast. Take a thing that's going to be soggy and then revitalize it.
I like that, yeah, because French toast can be kind of off sometimes. But yeah, if you fry it, that would be good. All right, number one for you, Logan.
All right.
And this is what we're voting on, by the way, is the number one.
This is the ones people get to vote on.
So my number one is an item that I believe is great as a leftover, whether you eat it cold the second time around or you reheat it, specifically in an air fryer. Fried chicken is so good as a leftover. Whether you make it yourself or it's a KFC bucket, you throw it in the fridge the next day and you want to just pull it out of the bucket and eat it cold or throw it back in the air fryer. Fried chicken is so unbelievably good. And it's, in my opinion, even better as a leftover.
Okay. I think Jamie disagrees with that, but I wouldn't make it my number one or even put it on my list, but I agree with you. Fried chicken. Cold is actually really
I am
good.
Not the biggest fried chicken connoisseur in the universe. And so that's probably part of it. You would have to air fry it. You would have to do something to it to make it crispy again. Otherwise, I wouldn't want nothing to do with that.
My number one is chili.
Okay.
So I talked about this yesterday. Yeah. So it is so good the next day. I think it's a little bit of the spaghetti thing going on too, where mm-hmm. it's had time to really kind of absorb and soak in. Like the beans taste a little bit better. And you put some like shredded cheddar cheese on top of it, mm-hmm. you reheat it in the oven or crock pot or the microwave. It doesn't matter. It's all good. So I'm going with chili for number one.
My number one is mashed potatoes, simply mashed potatoes, because number one, I can make that a meal for every day. I can eat mashed potatoes every day. But then once you take them out of the fridge and they're colder and they're hard, you can shape them into things. And I have made mashed potato patties and then fried them so they get nice and crispy on both sides and they come out like little hash brown patties, but they're soft on the inside and crispy on the outside. I feel like what can be done with mashed potatoes the next day is endless. It's so, good. Or it's you good. Could just add it to things.
So those are our number ones. I kind of had mashed potatoes on my Thanksgiving one, but mm-hmm. I like it just as a standalone. That's good. Those are our number ones. You need to vote on them. You text L to the text line at 913-586-7798 to vote for fried chicken. That's Logan's. Text W to the text line at 913-586-7798 to vote for mine. That was chili. And then vote J. Text J to 913-586-7798 to vote for mashed potatoes for best leftover of all time. A leftover that's actually even better than the original. 913-586-7798. Again, that's L for fried chicken. W for, I should make this easier. W for chili. And J for mashed potatoes.
We should make it like the first letter of the item.
That's what it should be.
Yeah.
That would make so much more sense.
Yes.
And how are we 4 months into doing this and we just figured that out?
Thought about that, yeah.
But yeah, that's what we're doing starting next week. Anyway, vote for that. We'll give the results at the end of the hour. Coming up next, we are going to be talking about homeless restrictions in the Northland. This seems to be just a challenging time of the year for all of the shelters in the world. And this shelter's like, yeah, guess what? Having too many people come in for some reason. So we're going to have to start having more restrictions. We'll talk about that next on Midday.
Summer's here. The days are long, the weather's perfect, and your time should be filled with fun, not vehicle maintenance. Thankfully, with complimentary Ford Mobile service, you don't have to take time out of your day to take care of your vehicle. That's right, from oil changes with the Works Package to brakes, batteries, tire rotations, and more. Ford technicians can come perform expert service right in your driveway. So go ahead and stay poolside and let Ford Mobile service come to you. That's ownership built around you. Contact your participating dealer or visit FordService.com for important details and limitations.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com. Code FIT.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why it's not
outside of Cleveland. You know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we have talked about the homelessness issue a lot. We talked about it last week, and we are talking about it again because the point has been made that there are zero homeless shelters in the Northland. We were talking about KCK before. We've talked about Lenexa before. And now there's a Northland organization that wants to change how it provides emergency housing in the cold winter. They said there are zero homeless shelters anywhere in the Northland. They said they experienced a spike in the number of people who needed assistance last winter. And they said the increase in demand is because people do not have other options. They don't have anywhere else to go. And so they're looking at changing how they decide who is going to get emergency help during the winter. So in the past, and since 2020, North Kansas City has paid for Northland Assistance Center to cover the cost of winter hotel rooms for the unhoused. They said over the last 5 years, North Kansas City has paid $140,000 to rent more than 2,000 hotel rooms. Now they want to change the requirements to get help from their organization. Here's what the proposals are. A person must be unhoused for 6 months or more to get help from the Northland Assistance Center. I'd love to know how they're going to prove that. They must have a valid Missouri picture ID and a Social Security card. I think that could be difficult for some people. And they must first contact the social service agency called a Turning Point and present a letter proving they have contacted the organization. Okay. Wouldn't it be easier to just build a shelter? If you're spending $140,000 over the course of 4 years to rent more than 2,000 hotel rooms, wouldn't it be easier to just build a shelter? We perhaps do not have Jonathan Weir.
Oh, there we go.
There you are.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And what good does it do to stay at a hotel? The point of a homeless shelter is more than just a place to stay. It's also a place where they help you find a job, a place where you can get a hot meal.
Financial literacy. Job training.
All that stuff. And doing this, and if you need rehabilitation for addiction issues, they also help you find that. I don't think the Marriott's equipped for that. I don't think whatever hotel they're putting them up in, it's probably not a Marriott, but whatever hotel they're putting them in is equipped for that. Like, what the hell is going on? Why are we so, we in the Midwest pride ourselves, we're good neighbors, good people. Uh-huh. Bull crap. Like, but when it comes to people who actually need help, no, we're not setting up any shelters. And the ones that we have, they'll be in KCMO. You can deal with that and down south, I guess. It's not even in Kansas City in the north. Now you have to go to the center of Kansas City to find a shelter that you can actually stay in. It's just ridiculous.
It's also financially stupid. You would think they've spent $140,000 so far. I don't know how much it costs to build a homeless shelter. Let's say for 20 beds. Is it $150,000, $200,000? I have no idea. But at some point, you will have spent more in hotel rooms than you would have spent on a homeless shelter, except that now you have a shelter, a permanent building. Financially, it doesn't make any sense. They also are proposing a temperature requirement. She is asking a stipulation that the temperature drops to 28 degrees or have a wind chill of 28 degrees before emergency cold weather housing will be provided. I don't know what it was before, or maybe there wasn't one, but she wants it to be below freezing before you can get emergency shelter. She said right now there are 25 people in North Kansas City that meet the proposed requirements. So what about everybody else? Where are they going in the winter?
I don't get this. This is something I do not understand.
Because clearly they think it's important. I mean, they think it's important enough that they're spending the money on hotel rooms.
Then what is the problem with putting up a permanent shelter? Is it because then you'll admit that this is a permanent problem? That if we just live in denial and we can pretend that it'll just go away if we just give them a hotel to stay in for the winter, and that it's not going to be something that's going to be habitual and systemic, and it's not just a part of our society and a part of this economic system that we have, is that it casts off people and we don't have the ability, because God knows the state isn't going to do it. God knows the federal government isn't going to set up homeless shelters. It's just, God.
It also means if you don't have a shelter, you don't have to take care of them in the summer. I mean, this is only in the winter.
Yeah.
You know, so if you have a shelter, that means you have a permanent place, and that means you have to operate it year round. I mean, maybe it's money. I talk about the cost of building a building, but you've got to staff it. You've got to pay the utilities, but you have identified it clearly as it's important to you to keep the unhoused from freezing to death in the winter. Isn't there a more cost-efficient way to do this? And, you know, that's more humane than putting them up in hotel rooms?
It's called, it's called a La Quinta in Lenexa, apparently.
No, it's not.
I know. The other thing is, and if you're somebody who's like, oh, homeless people are gross, you want them staying at hotels then? Like, with
Right.
Other people?
Right.
Like, because I actually don't think that's a good idea. And to be honest with you, if I knew that I was staying at a hotel that was housing a bunch of homeless people in it, I might think twice about staying there. Not because that's gross or they bother me, because I know mental illness is an underlying factor to a lot of the unhoused issue that we have in this country. And I don't necessarily want to stay at a hotel with that. They and the staff then has to deal with people who are unhoused. I mean, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
We're getting phone calls if you want to break first or if you want to go to them now. Yeah, but no, we're getting calls if you have thoughts on it.
913-586-7798. If you're calling, we'll get to you in just a minute. If you have any thoughts you want to text us, go ahead. 913-586-7798. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Talk about this some more on Midday.
Summer's here. The days are long, the weather's perfect, and your time should be filled with fun, not vehicle maintenance. Thankfully, with complimentary Ford Mobile service, you don't have to take time out of your day to take care of your vehicle. That's right, from oil changes with the Works Package to brakes, batteries, tire rotations, and more. Ford technicians can come perform expert service right in your driveway. So go ahead and stay poolside and let Ford Mobile service come to you. That's ownership built around you. Contact your participating dealer or visit FordService.com for important details and limitations.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com. Code FIT.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland. You know the Browns outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
So again, we're talking about the resistance, it would seem, to building shelters for the unhoused in Kansas City. This time we're talking about North Kansas City. They do not have a homeless shelter in the Northland. They acknowledge they don't want the unhoused to freeze during the winter, so they're putting all these restrictions on people that can come and then they can get hotel rooms. They have spent $140,000 on that since 2020. I ask, why not just put that money into a shelter? But they're not willing to do that, it would seem.
I know we have callers waiting. We had a text, a bunch of texts, but one text specifically I want to get into, and it is this. We don't need to create shelters, as shelters only encourage homelessness by rewarding people with a place to stay and not bothering to get a job. I'm just trying to parse that together because it was separated over three texts and very bad grammar. So it's amazing that somebody gave you a job, buddy. But I want to squash this because it drives me crazy. I've heard this argument so many times that, shelters, they just encourage homelessness. If we give them a place to stay, as if that's the barrier.
Right.
They're like, you know what? Why should I get a place to stay when I can go sleep on a cot somewhere?
Yeah.
You know, why should I bother to get a job? Why should I bother to get a house? Why should I bother to have a career when I can just go sleep at a shelter somewhere, sleep on a cot amongst a bunch of other people? That is not what creates homelessness. What creates homelessness is rising housing costs, which is getting way out of hand. We've talked about it many times in the show about how the threshold for your mortgage and your rent used to be 30%. And that was even up from where it used to be in the 70s and 80s. And now it's about 50%. And well over 50% of houses in this country are spending more than 35% of their income on housing. That is what encourages it. That's what causes it. Not to mention inflation and just the general rising cost of everything and wages not keeping up with that. But you want to act like compassion and empathy is the problem here, when in fact it's the opposite. It's because we don't care enough about people who are struggling in the society to give them a hand up. We've made things so much harder for everybody else. We've made it so much harder to just God help you if you lose your job in this country.
Let me speak to it from the Board of Veterans Community Project, because they have an 85% success rate. They have the 49 tiny homes, and then they have a commissary for people to come in and get food if that's the last thing that's keeping them from being on the streets. They have emergency funding. So if there are veterans that come in and say, if I miss this rent payment, I'm out on the streets. And so they will help people with the rent payment. But for the people that are in those tiny homes, it's not just a matter of them getting homes. Again, they get the financial services, they get social workers, they get mental health help, they get accountability to someone else in order to reach all these goals. They're not allowed to just stay in that tiny home forever. There is a plan that is set out to get them out on their feet. And yeah, it's 85% of them never end up unhoused again. So based purely on evidence from that system and knowing how that system works, right. No, they want to be independent. But it's if you don't have a house, it's hard to go from just getting a house and then needing a job. And then what if you don't know how to set up a bank account? I mean, there are just some basic things that people don't know how to do. We need those social services. You need those wraparound services. But again, 85% of that group of people never end up unhoused again. And so that tells me that they don't want to be.
It's also frustrating because this is where, you know, we lack as a society is, instead of going, okay, some people are very fortunate and have a support system. We've talked about it before. Yeah. If for you or me, if we were absolutely destitute, we'd have somewhere to go.
Yeah.
Like I would go live with my mom again or whatever we need to do. And a lot of people do have that, but these are for people who don't have that.
Not everybody does.
Not everybody does. Not everybody has family who can take them in or is willing to. And then there's also the pride factor. Some people don't want to accept help from family, or maybe they don't get along with their family, or maybe they have traumatic abuse from their family that has led to them having mental problems and led to them being on the street. There's so many reasons why somebody can be unhoused and homeless that are beyond just you're lazy. You just don't feel like getting a job. That's such a BS myth that was propagated back in the 1930s. Like, well, the Great Depression isn't a real problem. It's just these people need to pull themselves up by the bootstraps. It's frustrating.
Yes. All right. Let's go to your calls. 913-586-7798. Megan's first up in Kansas City. Hey, Megan.
Hey, Megan.
I might have hit the wrong button.
Uh-oh.
Hello?
Oh, there we go.
Hey, Megan.
Hi. I actually wanted to call on this about a couple things. I used to work for Family Service Division for the state of Missouri, and I worked with a lot of homeless people. I think something that, well, a few things that aren't really considered. You mentioned that they needed to have ID, they needed to have a letter from some place, Social Security card. These things are not easy to get. Especially if you're homeless, you don't have a mailing address to send them to. You can sometimes get a P.O. box, but that's for 30 days. Homelessness, once you get into it, it's nearly impossible to get out. And the whole thing about the letter, you ask them for a letter, they have to either have a way to call the place to get it, get there, a way to print it out, a way to get it to you. There's so many factors. I feel like they're making it harder to get help from this place than they are advertising that it's help.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
I mean, it is. And again, we keep, like she said, we keep putting barriers up to getting out of this. And I don't understand that. Like, if you have a problem with homelessness, we all do. But if you just hate homeless people,
right,
and you want to see less of them, then you should be okay with investing in shelters and in programs that will help them get out of poverty and get out of being unhoused or homeless.
Yeah.
That is, it's such a stupid, contradictory attitude that people have. Like, I hate this and I don't want to see it anymore, but I'm not going to do anything about it.
Right.
Like, if we don't help them, it's just going to magically somehow get better. Or we need to do a little bit of tough love.
Yeah.
That's what we need. We need tough love. These people didn't do anything wrong, most of them.
I feel like what we need is, like, for the 6-county Kansas City metro area, we need a multi-county commission of some kind. We need to
be
solving
this.
That's
a great idea.
As a metro area, instead of each county saying, well, we're not going to do anything about it. Let's not pretend like the problem isn't there. And let's identify where the homeless are and go to them. But it's everybody's problem. If you don't give them somewhere to live in North Kansas City, they're going to go into Kansas City. If they can't find something in Leavenworth, they're going to go to KCK. They're just going to be shuffled around everywhere. They're not going to go away. The problem is not going to end.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not magically, anyway.
No. Let's see. Angela's next up in Platte City. Hey, Angela.
Hi. Hey. So I wanted to say I couldn't agree more with both of you and Megan, who was your previous caller. This is infuriating. I don't understand why people can't get a grip on the fact that there are so many multitude of things that affect somebody that creates homelessness. It's so hard to find a solution, but solutions can be found. I don't know process decided on these stipulations, but that's ridiculous. My son has mental health issues. He lives with us. I can't even tell you the amount of money that we have paid to get him help over the past 3 years that insurance didn't cover. If we were not financially able to help him, he would absolutely end up homeless.
Wow.
Right. Yeah. And that's true of so many people. And thank you for your call, and thanks for that point.
Yes. Yeah. And for
it's
doing
frustrating
it.
To me, because it's such a privileged position that people have, where they think that could never happen to me. Yeah. So obviously it shouldn't happen to anybody.
Yeah.
And that's what we see so often in life. Instead of people, and I think it honestly, Jamie, comes back to a lack of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people just don't appreciate what they have.
Yeah,
taking for granted where you are and being grateful for what you have and your family and the help that you've had in your life, and realizing you should be grateful because not everybody has that.
And you might not always have it either. I mean, you never know what's going to happen. And maybe because you and I work in this industry, which is so volatile and so unpredictable, and you're grateful for what you have and you're always planning for what happens. But the family that you have may go away. The family that you have may end up in trouble, you know? So don't always think that you're going to have the resources that you have either.
And what do you do? What do you do then? You just hope that the state bails you out. Hope like your unemployment check will half of the money that you're making will last long enough until you get another job, because the average time to get a job after you've lost one is 6 months. That's the average. So no, that's not. You need to have that emergency savings. If you don't have that, you're screwed.
All right, we're getting more calls. So
all right, 913-586-7798. We'll end with some more calls coming up on Midday.
Let's solve homelessness in the next 2.5 minutes, shall we? Let's just do it. Yeah. They need our help, that's for sure, because we're not getting it done any other way.
I know ways to not solve it, and we've been talking about those a lot lately.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. We were talking about the Northland, how there is no homeless shelter north of the river, and they need one, and they seem to spend the money on hotel rooms instead.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I'm no expert.
913-586-7798.
Let's go to Michael first in Independence. Hey, Michael.
Hi guys, how are you?
Well,
I agree the homeless problem is horrible and everybody wants it to be gone, but
when you help people, they have to want the help, number one. If they're alcoholics and on drugs, they need to stay clean. And number two, how many times have we put them in hotels? They just destroy the hotels. They're not grateful. You know, and a lot
how do you know that, Michael? How do you know they destroy the hotels?
Have you seen where they've gone in? They've rented rooms for them and all them. They destroy them. I know people that work in the hotel business. They destroy them. You can't help somebody that doesn't care or doesn't want to help themselves. And if you're going to put them in a program, make sure you stay off drugs, stay off alcohol. If not, why help somebody if they're just taking advantage?
So why can't we create a homeless shelter that puts boundaries on substance use?
You can, but you have to enforce it. If you can't stay clean, then get out. We want to have it for people that will stay clean and actually want the help.
And then
you
what?
You can't always just give handouts.
Michael, but then what?
Get them in a program. Get them clean. Do what they do for veterans.
And then if they fail, if they come up short, then what?
Then I'm sorry. We've tried for you. You've not tried hard enough for us. Then you go back on the street. Because,
then they just live on the streets, and you're fine with that.
If you don't want to help yourself, and you don't want to be thankful to the people that give you help, then yes. You know, a lot of people choose to be homeless.
That is so, I'm gonna stop the call just for a second because I don't want to argue about it. But you and I just talked about this last week. I'm so tired of that argument of, well, a lot of them want to be homeless. The vast majority of the unhoused do not want to be homeless. It is such a myth. It's the argument that people make when you don't want to help, when you don't think that they should be helped. It is a very, very small minority of those who are unhoused who are choosing that lifestyle because that's what they want.
And as far as they destroy hotels, there's academic reviews of this, that permanent conversions where you buy the hotel, retrofitted, all that stuff, show hundreds of people housed in stable operations when staffing and management are in place. Maybe if you're just putting them in a random hotel,
right,
that's not as good because they're not going to have the oversight necessary to make sure that they're, you know, treating the place in accordance with the rules and all that stuff. But it's just, that's just not true. It's just ridiculous. And it goes with the idea that if we help people, that's somehow bad, that empathy is a fault. And the answer to people being on the streets is not to leave them on the streets.
Yeah.
You know, so sorry, I didn't hear the music. Coming up, we are going to be talking about, I don't know, something else, anything else that's next.
Summer's here. The days are long, the weather's perfect, and your time should be filled with fun, not vehicle maintenance. Thankfully, with complimentary Ford Mobile service, you don't have to take time out of your day to take care of your vehicle. That's right, from oil changes with the Works Package to brakes, batteries, tire rotations, and more. Ford technicians can come perform expert service right in your driveway. So go ahead and stay poolside and let Ford Mobile service come to you. That's ownership built around you. Contact your participating dealer or visit FordService.com for important details and limitations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.